For over 45 years, Pensacola Christian College has set aside some time each spring semester for Bible conference. These days of concentrated study and preaching from the Word of God are a time of spiritual enrichment for our students, faculty and staff, and many others who join us for these services. We're pleased to welcome you to the PCC Bible Conference.
I feel the leading of the Lord to preach three messages during the Bible Conference on the life of David. Now, we all like a good story, but I believe the greatest stories are found in one place. They're found in the Word of God. And so we're going to look at the life of David from three different angles. We actually begin tonight when he is a late teenager, no more than age 20, when he speaks these words and asks this question, a poignant one: is there not a cause? It was a morning when David's three older brothers were involved in a conflict in the Elah Valley with the Philistines. And his father, Jesse, said to him, I want you to take some food. The text of Scripture tells us that he sent him with corn and bread for his brothers and cheese for the leadership of the army, and said, take these commodities and go down and check out and see how your brothers are doing. So students, to put it in today's vernacular, he drove through the drive-thru at Bojangles and picked up some biscuits and headed out to the battlefront. Now, when he got there, without a doubt, there was high octane. I mean, if you've been to Israel, you can picture this valley with this little stream, the Elah Valley, where the Bible tells us that on one side were arrayed the Philistines, and on the other side of the valley were arrayed God's people, the Israelites. There was a giant who we know his name was Goliath. And the Bible says that for the last 40 days and 40 nights, twice a day he had come out and had challenged the armies of Israel, the armies of the living God, and had defied them, and said, send out a man to do battle with me, and if that man beats me, then we, the Philistines, will serve you, the Jews, and if it happens the other way, then you will serve us. Imagine a teenage boy getting to that spot, and as he got out into that area, there was a combustible spark in the air. And there he saw him, that great big giant that was over 9 feet tall. It was now not the 40th day, but it was the 41st day that Goliath said, send out a man and let's do battle. The battle was not between two nations. The battle was not between two armies. The battle was between two people, a boy and a giant that was over 9 feet tall. The text of Scripture tells us how he made his way through the crowd and came down to where his brothers were. And in verse 23 of 1 Samuel 17, we pick up the text. The Bible says, and as he talked with them, that's David, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. They didn't realize there was a new guy in town. King Saul, who had been paralyzed, an innumerable company of soldiers who had also been paralyzed by fear, did nothing. But the new sheriff in town, David, said, I can't believe what's happening. And look at the next verse. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, that's Goliath, fled from him and were sore afraid. The Bible says in the next verse that basically they went ahead and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Campus church member, do you know what he said? Faculty member at Pensacola Christian College, do you know what he was saying? Guests with us tonight from the community or online, do you know what he was saying? This young man, who was a teenager, at the most age 20, was saying, we are God's people. Dr. Shoemaker, he was saying, God's people have a testimony. He was saying, God's people have the hand of the living God upon them. How can it be that we are so overcome in these circumstances of life? And look what happened next. The Bible says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. Now let me just say, hey, you have brothers and you have sisters, and you're aware of the conflict there that takes place. But the Bible's absolutely clear what happened. His brother Eliab, the oldest brother, was absolutely furious. And he goes on, and this is what he says as the text continues. He says, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? He speaks disparagingly. Don't you know, little brother, that we're involved in men's work here? Hey, Dr. Atkins, all you have, he's saying to his little brother, is a few sheep. Are you coming down to the conflict? Hoping that the cameras of Fox News are going to pick you up, little guy? And he puts him down. And he says, I know thine pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And here are the words that are the title of the message. As David says out on that battlefield, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? You say, Pastor, I first heard this story in VBS. I first heard this story in Master Club Arowana. I first heard this story in video school with Rebecca Book. This is a children's story. Not on your life. It is a children's story. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10 tells us, do you know why these things were written? Do you know why these life stories were recorded in the Word of God? To be examples for us. And I submit to you tonight that what we need is a renewed voice resonating within our souls of the need for us to have a cause for the living God. Because the giants still surround us. The giants surround us morally. They surround us philosophically. They surround us technologically. And in every way, they are thundering tonight to defy the living God. Young people, a godly cause will produce everlasting change in your life. You say, Pastor Much, what are those changes? Notice with me, number one, from the Word of God this evening, that a godly cause produces courage in the midst of fear. Verse number 31. And when The words were heard which David spake. They rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for them. Man, Dr. Shoemaker, King Saul found out what's going on with David. He found out that a little shepherd boy, a teenager, showed up, and that man, his armies that were paralyzed, he was saying, let me at it. Let me go out and fight this guy. And he said, the king said, hey, bring him in. I want to talk to him. What a discussion took place. Verse number 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and will fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. What's the obvious question? Saul, the Bible says, was head and shoulders taller than everyone else in his army. Saul was the king. Why wasn't he leading the charge against the Philistines? Because Saul wasn't right with God. College student, remember this principle. When you're not right with God, you will always lose your confidence in serving him. David, the Bible says, went down and picked up 5 smooth stones. And we know what happened next. We know that he went out and challenged Goliath, put one of those stones in the slingshot, and planted it right in the forehead of Goliath, and he fell down dead and had a lasting impression. Yeah. But there's a verse when we go through the narrative that many times we fail to look at. Verse number 54 of 1 Samuel 17. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. Now, you say, he showed up without anything, without any weapons. Man, they tried to put him in armor, and it was way too big for him. And you remember, he didn't have a sword. But the Bible says that he had a sword with which he cut Goliath's head off. Guess whose sword it was? It was Goliath's. And I mean, the giant fell after he got the stone in the forehead. Out comes David. He pulls out the sword, and whoa! He lobs his head off. Was that exciting or what? You know what the Bible says he did? He took the head into Jerusalem. But the Bible says in verse 54 that he took Goliath's armor, and he took it back to his dorm room. He took it back to his tent. Now, the text of Scripture doesn't tell us this, but you know what? I believe we're going to find out when we get to heaven. At least I certainly wonder. Why, Dr. Shoemaker, did he want to keep that armor? I believe, students, he wanted to keep that armor because he wanted a reminder of the victory that God had given him in the battle. Students, I'm talking to you tonight, and you know what? You're singing, you're looking good, But you know what the Spirit of God knows tonight, as the Spirit of God works in hearts through the Word of God and the preaching and teaching of His Word? You know what the Lord Jesus knows tonight, as where two or three are gathered in His name, there He's in the midst. And so Jesus is walking up and down the aisles. He's walking along the rows. And you know what He knows as He comes to you? Some of you are down in the dumps. Some of you are discouraged. You've had a breakup in a relationship. You've had to change your major because, for whatever reason, it didn't go the way you expected. I'm talking tonight to some nursing students that you thought you were going to end up getting in the nursing program. And basically, you didn't make the cut. Hey, may I just encourage you tonight to realize that too many times we spend our life and our emotional energy thinking about those things that we should forget. What we need to do is put a trophy case in our heart. And as God gives us the victories, we need to pick those memories and we need to sock them away in our heart. And we need to do like David did, to keep that armor there as a reminder that our God has a perfect plan for your life. I started a series two Sundays ago at our church from the book of Philippians called God's Blueprint for Joy. And this last Sunday, we looked at Philippians 1:6. Talk about confidence, being confident of this very thing. That He, God, which hath begun a good work in you, that He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed, when we have a cause, it will produce, first of all, courage in the midst of fear. But it will produce, secondly, vision in the midst of doubt. Look with me in verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield." He looked at this big guy and he said, "But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Verse number 46. "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, that all the earth may know that there's a God in Israel." You know what? As we meet on this Monday night in the Crown Center on the campus of BCC, you know what? There is nowhere in the world where the story of David and Goliath has not gone. This scripture has absolutely been fulfilled. Verse number 47, "And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." You need not turn there. But in Numbers 13 and 14, there's another giant story. It's when the nation of Israel is ready to go into the promised land. God speaks to Moses and says, "Select one man from all 12 tribes and send them into the land and let them come back with a report." Now, did God send 12 men because He didn't know what was going on and He needed a report? Certainly not. He sent them there for one reason. The land was a land that flowed with milk and honey, a land that flowed with blessing and opportunity and a great future for all of them who would live by faith. And you know what He wanted them to do? He wanted them to go into the land. He wanted to see it with their own eyes. And He wanted them to come back and get their families together and their children and their grandchildren and say, "Hey, we can trust the living God. He has great things for us in the future." But they came back and they said, 10 out of the 12. "Do you think these 12 men were not carefully chosen?" Oh yeah, they were. They were the Navy SEALs. Yeah. They were the Green Beret. And back they came. And you know what they said? "Oh my, we can't do it. We've got to change our plans. Get out your daytimers, everybody. We were going to have the conquest, but we can't do it. Do you know why? Because there are giants in the land. And we are like grasshoppers. I love this in Numbers 14. The Bible says there was another spirit in a man named Caleb. Can I tell you something? Don't let the majority rule in your life, students. Be the guy who will stand out. Be the young lady in the midst of insurmountable circumstances who will have the faith to trust God that His promises are true and that He has only good for those who choose Him. I remember sitting in chapel as an administrator, hearing Pastor Redland, who at the time was the youth pastor at the campus church. I remember him coming into chapel and standing up and saying, only two choices on the shelf. Pleasing God and pleasing self. And my, just as Pastor Rasmussen preached tonight, do you know what almost 2 million people said? At the negative report of 10 men. Oh, wow. We're not going to go forward. I know this is what God has said, but we're up against insurmountable odds. There's never been a time when serving Christ has been easy. On the 10th of February, I read an article in the Wall Street Journal entitled Silicon Valley's Secret Christians. Talked about the fact that a very high percentage of tech workers in Silicon Valley are either atheists or agnostics. And if you are a man or woman of prayer, a man or woman of faith, you're going to really be in a significant minority. The article went on to say that one of the reasons in this culture that Christians are such oddballs is because Facebook and Google firmly believe in transhumanism. And they believe the day is coming that through technology that they will make man immortal. So instead, as the writer said, of an orthodox faith that believes in one God, they prefer to believe that they are gods themselves. Pensacola Christian College student, you sit in a unique place tonight. You sit in one of the few institutions of higher education in the land that still believe the doctrine of creation. You sit tonight in the halls of an institution that still believes, Dr. Rees, that history is not the accidental wanderings of men and women on their journey of life, but who believe that history is His story. I challenge you tonight. Be determined. Some of you are going to have your future in technology. Go out to fight the giants. And use all of the good blessings of technology, but realize that it'll never make man immortal, but what it'll simply be is great tools for us to disseminate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. David had a godly cause. A godly cause produces courage in the midst of fear. A godly cause produces vision in the midst of doubt. And number three, a godly cause produces perseverance in the midst of adversity. Study the life of David. You find out that it was a life that was far from a charmed existence. His brothers chided him when he came with all good faith to fight the giant. You'd think that once the giant was slain, that they'd leave him alone, but they didn't. They continued to pick on him. The Bible says that when he carried the head of Goliath into the city, that the ladies of the city came out. And those ladies from Jerusalem, the Bible says, they started to sing, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. Bible trivia tonight. Was that true, students? No, that wasn't true. It was absolute hyperbole. He, at that point, had killed one man. Now, that man was a big guy, yeah. He was a giant. But he'd only killed one man. But the Bible says that Saul eyed David from that day forward. Years ago, I found a book in a used bookstore called The Tragedy of Saul. I've looked for other copies because I've wanted to give it as a gift. I've never been able to find another copy. It's a very old book. But The Tragedy of Saul, the writer said, was this. And we're going to talk more about this tomorrow, when we looked at the phrase that David behaved himself wisely. We're going to talk tomorrow about what it means to behave in a world that's misbehaving. But what happened is this. The tragedy of Saul was this. Saul started looking at David, and he got jealous of a young man who wanted to do nothing but help him. He got jealous of a young man who wanted to do nothing but help him advance his kingdom. And the tragedy of Saul is this. He died that way. He never got it out of his head and out of his heart that all David wanted to do was love him and help him. David's life of adversity was greatly complicated by his own sin of adultery and murder. But praise God, it was probably when he was an old man that he penned the words of the 23rd Psalm and concluded that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Listen carefully and we're done. There were three groups of people that day in the Elah Valley. I believe those same three groups are found tonight in the Crown Center at Pensacola Christian College. There were, first of all, the soldiers battle for them, life for them, was what they had in their hand. But it never got to their heart. And as a result, they were complacent. Dr. Shoemaker, you know this. It's possible for students to come to PCC and get a degree, but never really embrace a godly cause. Whenever I come to the phrase in the book of Acts, where the Bible talks about the disciples and how they were ignorant and unlearned men, but then my heart just turned when I got to that phrase where it says that these ignorant and unlearned men, that they turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. Why? Because they were anything but complacent. There was a second party that day, that morning out on the hillside there in the Elah Valley. It's represented by the crown. Saul. Saul, in contrast to the soldiers who had it in the hand and were complacent. Saul had it in the head. And he was calculating. There are some of you who will never fulfill all that God has for your life. You know why? Because everything that comes along, you've got to slice it and dice it and parse it. And everything has to be calculated to the point that if it doesn't make sense to you, like it didn't make sense to 10 of the 12 who came out of the promised land, you will not do it. You know what? If Saul would have stepped out by faith and taken his men and had his heart right to fight the Jews, you know what? I believe they would have won. But he was calculating. But notice with me, number three. There was David. Oh my. He had it not in the hand. He had it not in the head. He had it in the heart. What is David called in the Word of God? He's called a man after God's own hands. No. He's called a man after God's own head. No. David's student, faculty member, administrator, campus church member. David is called a man after God's own, say it with me, heart. Now, I know that many times we say he was a man after God's own heart, because when, in contrast to Saul, when Saul had his sin pointed out to him by Samuel the prophet, he simply made excuses. When Nathan came and pointed out David's sin, David didn't make any excuses. He said, I'm the man. I am wrong before God. That made him a man after God's own heart without a doubt. But I believe there was another reason why he was a man after God's own heart. It is because he never lost his cause. If you could come to my study at home, you'd see this stone on a shelf. This stone came from the Ela Valley in Israel. There are days when I look at this stone days, Dr. Shoemaker, when I get overcome with fear. Days, Dr. Atkins, when I get surrounded by doubt. Days when I just struggle with my own inadequacy. And God, what are you going to do? And you know what? I look at that stone and I say, oh God. God, you know these battles that I'm dealing with. And Lord, I'm so thankful that I have the opportunity to serve you. But I say, God, these circumstances seem to be overwhelming. And this situation in my relationships, this situation in my health, and this situation in my finances, and this situation with my people, and this situation here and there. And you know what I have to do? I have to say, oh God, let me, in simple faith, pick up the stone of faith. And God, by your grace, let me get out of bed today and let me move forward, realizing that your plan is perfect, realizing that you're working in my life, realizing that all things do work together for good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And let me realize, God, that you are the living God, that the battle is not mine. I don't have to try to figure it out. I don't have to try to manipulate it. All I have to do is, by simple faith, trust the living God with the present and the future. And guess what he will do? He will slay the giants. Two questions and we're done. What giants are in your soul tonight? Number two, will you in this day, regardless of God's called you to be a graphic designer, if he's called you to be a coach, if he's called you to be a teacher, if he's called you to be a missionary, if he's called you to be a computer programmer, if he's called you to be a grammarian, if he's called you to be a police officer, whatever it is, will you, before you pillow your head tonight, will you say, oh God, give me a cause and let me trust you to not be ruled by the majority in my life, but let me trust you, God, to see the giants fall and to see your blessing powerfully rest upon my life, that I'll fulfill your purpose. And as Pastor Rasmussen said tonight, as his father would ask him at the dinner table, what's God's purpose? That you'll say tonight, that ultimately through it all, God will be glorified in my life. I ask you tonight, as we close, is there not a cause?
You've been listening to a Bible conference message from Pensacola Christian College. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.